Let's begin now.
You know, today, I just woke up, and I said,
this.
No, instead of waiting on a good day, waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen, I just said,
one of my professional colleagues and friends who's done some amazing things through his life. And actually, he's going to be live on the show today. He has an amazing TV show that's about to drop. He is actually one of the originators of the Black Wall Street in Baltimore and nationwide. He's a world traveler, business consultant, motivational speaker, award-winning journalist, and more. And he's going to be calling in on the show today, and we're going to be talking to him. And welcome to the new show, which is going to be airing every Tuesday at 3 o'clock, which is called The Biz, where we talk about celebrities, gossip, best business practice, and more. And we got some good feeling music, and it's all about good energy, love energy. It's 2019. I'm still trying to get used to it right now, but we're going to go ahead and bring our amazing guest to the show right now. So we're going to go ahead and see who's at the door. Give us a second. We're going to see who's live on the door with us right now. Let's see who's here. Hey, 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 how you doing? Is that Donnie Glover live in the building with us today?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen to that.
Yes, it's Donnie Glover. Is this the woman who started a media outlet 11 years ago called Lush Radio Online, interviewed rising stars, who's interviewed established stars, including Denzel, including Kevin Hart, but who prior was a soldier, a U.S. soldier. And prior to that, roots in Nigeria, New York, and now D.C., Baltimore. Yes. Big ups to you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I got to definitely give you a round of applause. Former CNN correspondent. You were there live in action for the Freddie Gray situation. You've done a lot of advocacy for the people of Baltimore, for businesses in general, giving them understanding government opportunities and contracts. I mean, you've done so much. You are such a wealth of knowledge. And you're continuing empowering people no matter what walk of life they're in. And I definitely got to give you a round of applause for that because you are amazing, Donnie. You are definitely an amazing individual.
To God be the glory. To God be all the glory.
And if you're tuning in right now, if you're on Facebook Live right now, you're tuning in, you can log on to the show or you can call in at 213-943-3705. I'm live right here with Donnie Glover. Thank you for tuning in and checking out the show today. And today we're going to be talking about the new Donnie Glover show. And we're also going to be talking about the government shutdown, which has been affecting a lot of people, surviving R. Kelly. the future of media. And if you'd like to chime in, and we kind of have a question of the day also. So Donnie, first of all, I mean, you've been in the game for years, doing media, journalism, and things of that nature. What inspired you to get into journalism?
That's a great question. I started college in 83 down in Morehouse, and life would have its turns. And 10 years later, I had the opportunity to go back to college at Coppin State, where I'm from Baltimore, and Atlanta is obviously, 12-hour drive away, 8 to 12, whatever it is. I ended up going to college 4 blocks from my house where I grew up. And you would have never told me. I mean, I went to high school cross town, both of them. So you would never have told me in a million years that I would have gone to Coppin, C-O-P-P-I-N, Coppin State. You would have never told me that because I just like to travel too much. But I ended up there, and, you know, an opportunity came because I was I had made some really horrible, you know, decisions. In my personal life, but had the opportunity to go back thanks to my dad, my late dad. And I asked my nephew what I should major in. Down in Morehouse, I was English and like a music minor, but I didn't know. It's 10 years later, and what I'm getting to is how I found, and I think this is important to your conversation, I think, how we find our purpose. How we zero in on what gift God has given us. And if you're fortunate,
Amen.
Your gift or gifts and your passion coincide. That's my security, sorry. Steve Harvey, that's Pharaoh. Steve Harvey said, I saw in a video that you got to follow your gifts, not your passion. Hey, come on. Your gift, your passion might not be the thing that you're really good at. And I think that was his overall point. You want to focus in on what you do better than anybody else. And for me, mm-hmm. my passion, my gift coincide. I love media, and it's so important to me. And so I asked my nephew what I should major in, and he said media. That was one of the options at Coppin. Actually, it was broadcast production, media technology and broadcast production. And that was 93. So this is in the beginning of the advent of the internet. AOL. That was really what I remember back then. You have mail. I had just gotten a computer.
I know.
Brand new computer.
You have mail.
Remember that? So I got into media in 94, technically as the co-editor and then editor of the Samtown Winchester Viewpoint. And that is right here in West Baltimore, 72 square block community that touches the tip Penn North. That's a different community, but we are where with Freddie Gray tragedy began in Gilmore Homes. And, you know, from here, you know, I will say this, that in terms of the gift, and it's a gift that I had to work at, because I don't think I was all that good in the beginning. I don't know how good I am now, but I know it's opened doors for me, and that's writing. I mean, a lot of people, they want to get in the media and, you know, they want to be in front of the camera, especially young media professionals. And everybody wants to be in front of the camera. There are a lot of jobs. There are a lot of other people that it takes to make it happen. And one of the most important things in any media operation, black, white, blue, green, yellow, conservative, liberal, whatever, African, European, American, is writing, the ink pen. Those who can write, your ink pen can open doors. And my ink pen, you know, after, I guess, 6 years of Samtown newspaper, that ink pen had opened doors. My daddy, I used to, complained to my father about white people and white America. And he reminded me, and I share this with you and your listeners, he said, do what only a black man can do. And it took a while for me to understand what that meant, but I get it now. Do what only you can do. And if you're white, you know, whomever, but I think you get my drift. Do what only a black. He told me play to my strengths, in other words. Don't play to your weaknesses. Play to your strengths. I just saw a white homeless man at the coffee shop, and he was talking about what he can't do. Now, you know that rubbed me the wrong way because I'm telling him what he can do. I said, I'm a black man in America. I said, I can do anything. That's how I was raised. I can do anything. Anything I put my mind to do, I can do. You can do. And anybody listening. And what comes to mind is that Marianne Williamson poem about our deepest fear. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be? Brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous. Actually, who are you not to be? You were born. You are a child of God. You were born to make manifest the glory of God that is not just in some of us, but in all of us. And as you let your own light shine, you unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As you are liberated from your own fears, your presence automatically liberates others. Marianne Williamson. Nelson Mandela used that in his inauguration speech. White woman, brilliant white woman.
Wow, I just love just, you know, Donnie, your aura, the way that you encourage other people to push their potential. Sometimes they don't even see, you know, they Emma's speaking. Thank you, Emma, and check out Emma each and every Monday. The way you encourage people, you know, sometimes they don't always see the greatness within them. But you have a way to pull it out, and you always encourage them to start a business or do something, step out on faith, which you definitely did with Be More News and what you first started, because you recently did the Black Wall Street Summit. And Black Wall Street, in the beginning, we know the original Black Wall Street that happened years ago, but you've created this platform here to express people's thoughts, ideas, networking, to push businesses, to bring people in a space where they wouldn't normally see people or certain colleagues in different levels or different walks of life. And you promote inclusion and diversity in your summits. We've seen so much of a growth from you. Was it a big challenge when you first initially started this initiative?
The Black Wall Street Initiative or Be More News 16 years ago? Black Wall Street is 7 years old. Be More News 16 years old. Which one?
Well, both of them. I mean, both of them. Because, you know, even though they're two separate, but, you know, they kind of work together hand in hand.
Well, I knew after writing a newspaper, and I didn't have to worry about funding. It was funded. All I had to do was write. The newspaper was published. And that was, you know, 5-6 years of writing a newspaper. And this is with the advent of the internet. And so by 99, 2000, I had gotten a job downtown at the Empowerment Zone. I got a promotion, sort of. I left Sandtown, a community newspaper, and went downtown to work for the Baltimore Empowerment Zone, which touched all of the city. And I worked there from 99 to 2002. That's when the job finally ended, and we got a severance package. But in the process, number one, I knew I wanted when I first learned about the Empowerment Zone, and it had something on the wall about business opportunities, entrepreneurship opportunities, start your own business. That thing just resonated in me. And after working at the Empowerment Zone for that 3-year period, where you're talking about empowering or technically helping empower others, because I can't empower you. You have to want to be empowered. Mm-hmm. It's a team effort, and you got to want it more than anybody else. But I realized, you know, I've been writing the Sandtown newspaper. I started to see that people would pay money to get their stuff in the newspaper, their ads or what have you. And I said, I want my own media outlet so they can pay me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this thing can make money. So I had to start my own. And so I started started a publication. I found an opportunity.
No, I said you found the opportunity and then you capitalized on that.
Well, after working at the Empowerment Zone, and this is the point I guess I failed to make, I'm helping empower mm-hmm. all these other people. Negro, you better mm-hmm. help empower yourself. Because I actually lived in the Empowerment Zone. You gonna be out here helping empower all these other people and you ain't take care of home? Come on. Come on, son. You can do better than that.
We find ourselves sometimes, you know, we give so much and empower so much, but we neglect ourselves at the time. And then, okay, if we give so much, then how can we help other people if we don't take care of ourselves?
Not in 2019. This is the year of self-love. I've proclaimed it.
Yes, it is.
This is the year of self-love.
Self-love.
If you've been a giver,
yes.
You better love yourself. You better do for yourself. You better get your plan together. Been taking care of children 17, 18 years. Been doing this for others. Like you said, this is the year of self-love. I didn't help enough people. I better help myself. And
exactly.
Every now and then, we got to remind ourselves of that.
Exactly. You have to, this is the year of self-love 2019. You just heard it here from Donnie Glover. He is telling you self-love. You've given all these years, but what have you given to yourself? So 2019, and it's not being selfish. You have to take care of yourself. You have to be, you know, because if you don't take care of yourself, who else are you going to take care of? I mean, you can't help anybody if you become sick and you don't take care of anybody else, or you become bankrupt because you done gave everybody everything. You have to have self-love in 2019. You better say it, Donnie. You better say it. Mm-hmm.
I say this also, that we do have to help others. We do have to be a blessing. We do have to mm-hmm. be philanthropic. But for those of us who have been doing that diligently, yeah, that's the year of self-love. Now, some people have to still learn a lesson about doing for others. But we're not talking about the takers today.
Mm.
But they are takers. They've been taking so long, they wouldn't help Jesus. First one in line asking for help, and the last one willing to render help. I know them. I know those people. I had to catch myself. I almost got urban on you.
You almost got urban on me. Well, you know, we keep it raw here at The Biz. You know, we're telling The Biz, you know, the truth, the raw truth, and nothing but the truth here. I just enjoy your walk and you empower me. I truly love you, Donnie.
I help empower you, but you help empower me too. I've called
wow.
you, ladies and gentlemen. This woman has jumped on a train carrying at least 3 bags of equipment, including a camera and a tripod, to Baltimore City for me. And so, on that note, a very special thank you to you, but I think the lesson I wanted to hone in on is you gotta have somebody who is your teammate. You gotta have some teammates out here. Now, if you're blessed with one, you are super rich. Two, you're very wealthy. To have a person like you, Lush, that I can call on. And like my daddy said, God rest his soul, he said, don't wear your welcome out. Number two, pay people. You know, we pay everybody else. We pay the electric bill. We pay the other community. We better start paying our people and pay them well.
Mm.
A venture capitalist here in Baltimore named Eddie Brown manages $5 billion. He said, you have to, as an employer, you have to have the best compensation package in the region.
Mm.
If you want the best, you got to pay the best. Kills me people that want it all and don't want to pay people. I want to pay. I'm going to give you Lush, what do you need? What I ask you? What do you need? What do you want? And I try to match it and at least match it and try to do more. but pay people. Yep. Give them what they ask for. If you want,
exactly.
If I want you to give me what I ask for, I got to give you what you ask for. And that's what we don't have enough of, is those win-win relationships. I think that's a very important key in business. Win-win relationships all across the board. Help people that help you. That's a great place to start. Have you ever
exactly.
helped people who wouldn't help you? They call you 4 o'clock in the morning. You can't call them 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I know those kind of people. They're not in my 2019, I can tell you that, boo-boo.
Mm-hmm, and that's the truth. But also, speaking of, we're talking about best business practices, and you've been in the game for a minute. You've seen, you know, good and bad. You have a book out. You have a book, and you're an amazing author. Could you put that information out about your book also?
Yes, Unapologetically Black, Donnie Glover. Autobiography. While my first memories are the riots of 68 here in Baltimore, the book literally was delivered to my door in the middle of Freddie Gray. It's about my journey. I could probably have written a longer book or with more details. I tried to focus in on what's important. I have made some bad decisions, including crack, dope, and coke. That's been 18 years. And I've been able since then, since I've gotten back to center, to travel to Ethiopia, Tanzania, Jordan, Jamaica, Canada, cover news in various places in the United States, mostly, of course, on the East Coast, Portland, Little Rock, television, been a political analyst here in Baltimore television since about 2000, 2001. Radio show for 19 years, a couple of stations.
Yeah, definitely. You've been
on doing
several
the Donnie Glover
stations.
Show. So the
Donnie Glover
touch, let me just say this one thing about the book. One thing I talk about in the book is we as people of color here in the United States cannot be stuck on stupid. If there's a Republican that's going to serve your community better than the Democrat, vote for that Republican. Also, politics without an understanding of economics is zero, zilch, nothing, nada, nada, nothing. If you just got a bunch of black politicians and they ain't bringing economic empowerment to your neighborhood, you have nothing but window dressing.
Mm.
Did you hear me? Did you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, people
say
run
that
around,
again.
I'm going to be the first black this, I'm going to be the first black that, I'm going to be the first black governor, first black whatever, whatever. If they are not like of the ilk of a Marion Barry, they have no respect in my book. Marion Barry did more for black business than any black politician I have ever met. I would add in Maynard Jackson in Atlanta in my lifetime. Mr. Brown out there in California, former Speaker of the House, he was very empowering to my knowledge of the black community, But I know specifically what Marion Barry and Maynard Jackson did to help black businesses here on the East Coast. And that's what we need. Yeah. When they went to build Hartsfield International and they didn't have black contractors, Maynard Jackson said, cut off the water. In other words, if you want to be building here on this mega project, largest airport around, and you don't have black contractors involved, you won't be doing this project. Cut off the water. You need water to mix the cement and all of that. Cut off the water. But we don't understand that. We don't understand how to leverage our power. And that's, you know, a tidbit of what I get into in the autobiography. That's what I've learned. Prince George's wealthiest black jurisdiction in the country. When I look at Washington, D.C., how they've been able to keep a black mayor for four decades, if I'm not mistaken, that's power. And Atlanta, you know, very strong on black mayors. But they understand you got to parlay it in the economics. If you ain't parlaying it in the economics, you have nothing. Window dressing. Zilch, nada, nada.
Donnie, how can people, if they want to purchase the book, to get more in-depth about what you specify in the book, how can they, purchase a book to support
Amazon,
what you got going
Barnes
on?
And Noble. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If you're in Baltimore, Everyone's Place bookstore. It's in some libraries throughout Maryland, including on the Eastern Shore, Talbot County. Dorchester County, Enoch Pratt Free Library here in Baltimore. I got to do a book signing in the D.C. area. It's about time, don't you think?
Yeah,
we
got to
do a couple of things. We got
to
do a couple of things, including that summit you had told me about.
Yeah, we have to do it.
The Black Wall Street summit.
We need to do a Black Wall Street summit here in the PG County area. So we're going to sit and offline put that together because that's coming soon. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about also best business practices and also individuals. Just regular people that might not have businesses, but how important is it to leverage your government officials to get to know them? How important is that, Donnie?
If you think just going to the poll and pulling a lever means you've done something, you are delusional. If you think just because you went and you voted for the same old step and fetch politician that you've been voting for and your mama voted for and your mama's mama voted for, then you don't understand politics. You have to do more than pull a lever. You have to, number one, know who the hell you're pulling the lever for. What have they done? You know, we as a community, I think we're horrible in that regard. We're horrible in the sense of, one, knowing who the elected official and who the candidates are, what the position does, the history of that district, meaning what did the black politician two generations ago do, or the white ones if you're in a white community. But if you got to know their phone number. I got the girlfriend's cell number. I know what strip club mm-hmm. they go to. You got to know them. You got to know where they're at. You got to go and you have to engage them. You have to build a relationship. It's all about relationships, business, community, education, everything. It's all about relationships. And we don't have the relationships that we ought have. I was just telling someone that our ancestors here in America who endured slavery came out of that. They saved nickels, pennies, and dimes and built historically black colleges and universities. In 2019, mm-hmm. I just read where Bennett College is in trouble financially. It's about to lose its accreditation. When we have bigger salaries, bigger houses, bigger jobs than our ancestors ever could imagine. With all of that, with all of those accoutrements of success, we are mentally broke. We have not taken that money. We lack common sense. With all of our wealth, we're closing black colleges. The ancestors, fresh out of slavery, built historically black colleges. Something is fundamentally wrong with that picture.
Definitely. That's something that is definitely big. We see a lot of closing of historically black colleges, a lot of change in a lot of the things that the four, our ancestors built, which is definitely disturbing to me. It's not, we're not trying to, preserve them. We want to be, so-called woke or be aware of what's going on, but we're not really truly active. You know, you have bits and few of people. I'm not going to say everybody, but, we have to do better. We have to do more, and we can't just keep saying it. And that's why I've learned through my life and my journey, I can't complain about what other people are doing. It disturbs me, so we have to create stuff. That's why I love what you're doing with Black Wall Street and when we come together. And you always believe in all of us working together and utilizing our resources that we have, let's put these resources together and make something big. We can do it. There's no hesitation. There's a free flat platform. It's not like we're back in the day. We need the middleman. It's all a free form, free platform for anybody to gain wealth, to gain knowledge and to learn from each other, and practice the diversity, practice the inclusion, and practice on uplifting the community. And if you want to go in and do business with an individual, do good business, practice good business practices, you can't shame that person if you're not doing the right thing yourself. So we have to definitely
integrity.
Do good business. and have integrity. And that's a lot of people lack integrity and ethics, which is a big thing. You know, we all study that in government. Even I don't care if you were hustling on the street, you all had, you know, ethics, integrity, or just certain things that you did. And people just don't follow that. And everybody, they don't believe in quality. They believe in quantity now. So it's like everything's been so diluted in this age, and we have to do better. And moving into that, due to our showtime, the biggest thing is right now you have this new amazing show. You spoke it into existence, and you said you were going to do it. And I think it might have been last year or before that. You were saying, I'm going to do this show. I want to be on TV, and you said it. And you've been
you
on
remember
TV
that.
Before. Yes, you've been on TV before, but you said, I'm going to do it. You spoke it into existence, and it's here now. Donnie, how did it come to the point where you said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this Donnie Glover show? And when is it going to air and all that? Because I'm excited. Got to get
Saturday,
that DVR ready.
4:30. Saturday, 4:30 a.m., WMAR ABC2. It's 4:30 in the morning, and in time I will – after we master the 4:30 time slot, then we'll move up, you know, maybe 6 a.m. But my goal is, this being the first time, I want to master it. So we're going to start at 4:30. We're starting at the bottom, and I want to master it.
Mm.
How did it come about? Frank Johnson, he's my co-executive producer. He does 3 other shows on WMAR ABC2. And that's how it happened, why it happened, and the speaking of it into existence. It was the logical progression after doing 19 years of radio. And it's not like we had been doing television and video projects here and there and, you know, appearing on television. But last year, my brother, older brother Teddy, kept saying, he said it in such an annoying way. Like, man, you need a television show, man. That's his favorite word, man. Man, I'm telling you, man. And his wife prayed on it. And, you know, with people like my godbrother, Bishop Elliott, as a friend, as my friend, as my friend. If you have one friend, you're rich. You know, that's how, but so that's it. Frank Johnson is the co-executive producer. That's the how. And thank God for Frank. And I'll tell you this, Frank is the kind of person that if I know somebody needs his services, I'm going to send them to him. And and when he is going to go in his pocket and take something out of that money he just earned and say, Donnie, here's this for you, I'm going to tell him to keep it. Because he's done the same thing to me. He said, Donnie, I don't want your money. Go get that advertising money. And that's what we're doing. So special thank you to all of the advertisers on BeMoreNews.com to keep it going. And so the lesson in that is, if I know somebody that needs your services, Lush, in your area, and you can get to them, it's my obligation to send them to you. Just like you have done the same for me.
Exactly.
Treat people like you want to be treated. Everybody, this is business. People want money or the opportunity to make money. So we got to think beyond ourselves. And I think that's the – now, I did want to say something about Black Wall Street, that back in 1921 when they burned Tulsa down to the ground, it became known as Black Wall Street. Black Wall Streets were all over the country, Weeksville in Brooklyn, Seneca Village in Harlem, Black Bottom in Detroit, Sweet Auburn down in Atlanta, Rosewood in Florida, 25, 26 independent Black communities along with Tulsa in Oklahoma. There were Black Wall Streets anyway. Allensworth, California. Black man founded it. You know, Chicago founded by a Black man. My point is Black business districts existed everywhere Black people were because we couldn't shop in white establishments. So we were forced to be self-sufficient, and that's what we've lost. We just want a job. I want a job. I ain't had a job in a long time. I run a business, and I think we all should have a business. Everybody listening to this conversation should have some kind of business going on. If for nothing else, let Odessa Hopkins tell you, but for the tax write-offs. We've been playing checkers while they playing chess.
Exactly.
If you got a business, you know what you can write off?
Exactly.
You can write a lot off with a business.
Definitely.
But you got to make the effort. You know, you got to get out. Yeah. I mean, damn. Everybody should have a business.
Yeah, I mean, you had a little girl at two. How old was she? She was like, what, 12 or 11 at the summit? How old was she?
I think she was 12. She looked 9, but she acted 72.
Yeah.
And she's ready to get on a television show. She said, let me know if you need a guest.
Yeah,
in
I mean,
Dinker
this young,
style.
Beautiful woman.
Or Dinker
she,
style.
She did an amazing job. And hold on one second. She did an amazing job doing her event and stuff. And she was able to start her business. And she started her business, and she's so articulate. Her mother is her CFO, and I'm just proud of her. And Donnie was able to bring this young lady on the show, bring this young lady to the summit, and everybody was just, like, in awe. Like, she was so eloquent when she spoke, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, she gives me hope for, you know, besides my daughter, I love her to death, but, you know, she gives me hope on young black girls out there. I mean, she is so just beautiful. You got to check her out. Donnie might have her on our show. Hopefully we can get her on the show to talk to her and her mother. She's just
Dinkra
amazing.
Dinkra Styles.
I think that's
Dinkra
Styles. Of her,
no,
on
with
Instagram.
A D. Dinkra.
Dinkra Styles.
With
okay.
a D. Yes.
With a D.
Dinkra
Styles.
Mm-hmm.
I had to step away real quick. You know, we live. I had an Amazon package come in.
you don't
want to
leave them out front.
Yeah, because let me tell you something. They out here stealing packages, man. They are taking packages. But I had to get my Amazon package because, you know, I need my Amazon. I think it's amazing what you're doing, Donnie. The other thing, I have a couple of questions because, you know, so much of things going on. So just give me some quick answers to some of these things due to our time schedule. So the topic today for a lot of people, some people are affected with the government shutdown. What are your thoughts?
That's why you need a business. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, have your own business. So when a white man tell you they don't need you anymore, you can say, that's okay, because I got my own business anyway.
Mm.
This is 2019. If we're thinking the same way that people thought in 1950, that you can get a job and retire and everything's going to be hunky-dory, you know, there have been, you know, a couple major depressions in my lifetime in the economic market. And in those times, those who are prepared for a rainy day survive. Those who are not. Some people jump off the building. I ain't jumping off no building. I ain't got time for that. That sounds like it hurt.
Nope. We're not doing no suicide. We're not doing that. But the one thing.
But in 1929, look, in 1929 in the Great Depression, a lot of people did commit suicide. And I mean, white people.
That is true. And it's true because some people, you know, they're so dependent on this constant income, you know, doing this systematic, you know, daily routine, going to job, come home, go to job, come home. Let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you that government jobs, regular jobs, everybody is one paycheck away from being homeless. And I've been homeless myself. Okay, so don't. Unless you have a lot of money stacked in, which not a lot of people have stacked money away or invested in the stock market. And if speaking about stock markets, if you check out Robin Hood, The app, you can invest in stock market as little as $20 or $5. You know, people haven't invested in stock market yet. You know, some people haven't saved. Even in 2019, not everybody has been saving money. Millennials are being more frugal now, but you have people that spend. Even if they get a lump sum of money, they still don't know how to money manage, and they get stuck in a situation. So if they lose their job or they go on a furlough, they're depressed. They're going through a massive depression, or they want to commit suicide. But versus people who are entrepreneurs, they're like, okay, we've already been through that. Sometimes we have to chase money. Sometimes we have to save for the next situation. Sometimes money is slow. They already know how to adjust and to adapt to situations like that. So you're not going to find them saying, oh, I'm going to commit suicide. I'm going to, you know, do this, that, and the third. And not to say everybody, because, you know, rest in peace, Kate Spade, you know, but she had some other issues she was dealing with. But when you're an entrepreneur, you know how to maneuver and you know how to adapt. So when Donnie's saying, you know, invest in getting your own business, you still have something to tap into. You still have some. When that money isn't coming in, you have other revenue coming in. Warren Buffett, okay? Warren Buffett said his own self. He said, you can't rely on one stream of revenue. You have to have several streams of revenue coming in. This is Warren Buffett. This is one of the people that you guys look up to, you know? Even Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs didn't finish school. You got a guy from Microsoft. All these people were hustlers in their own sense. They went to school for a little bit, but at the same time, they had an idea and a thought process, and they manifested it, and they made it work. There was a whole bunch of naysayers that said that Apple wasn't going to be good. But look at it now. It's a billion-dollar company. They make millions, billions of dollars. You know, so I definitely challenge you.
So
go out and take your idea and create a business.
The opposite to that is we have some behavior that we have to check in our community.
Exactly.
We are called super users. In America,
wow.
Color are looked at as super users, not just consumers. Mm-hmm. We are super users. We shopping at every damn holiday. The poorest people in the damn community, the poorest people, some of the poorest people, we shopping. We buying stuff from other people. We're not supporting our own businesses even when we do shop. Not like we should or could. African Americans alone have $1.3 trillion in annual disposable income.
Exactly.
The black consumer should be supporting the black business, and the black business should be giving up a quality product with some integrity. There's no reason. We keep everybody in business. Why aren't we keeping ourselves? Why aren't we supporting our own? We gotta. And again, black business owners have a responsibility to deliver a quality product and or service.
Exactly.
But we should not be struggling. But we're shopping. Look at Christmas. Look at all this stupid money people be spending.
That's the truth. I'm laughing because it's the truth. I mean, you know, people,
because
you know,
the
they
damn television and commercials trying to keep up with the Joneses.
You're spending money you don't have
to impress people you don't even like.
Exactly.
For what? Invest in a business.
Exactly. So that was a little bit
and
about
study,
the
study. If you do go into business, study the business. If you do go into business, study the market, study the need for your business, customers are going to be, you know, do some tests, pilots to see if it works just like they do television shows. You know, we gotta get savvy. We all on Instagram. We all on social media. You know, we're doing this. We're playing games on the internet. You know, we're playing checkers while the mainstream is playing chess. We gotta get up on the game.
So definitely. So, you know, like I said, best business practices, understand your industry, find your niche market, do market research, you know, get a focus group and test out your product or your service, and start local. Start with people that you know. Get testimonials and and get it out there. You know, the playing field is even now. You can use social media. You can use different things. But the other thing is think besides social media. What if social media leaves us? So you have to also find different ways of revenues and different avenues to promote your product. Because say Facebook shuts down today. What other streaming areas can you use? You can use Instagram Live, but even though Facebook owns Instagram, who knows? So you always have to be on top of technology and what's changing in society. So moving on, the other question I wanted you to chime in, surviving R. Kelly. Most of you guys know I'm a survivor of military sexual trauma. I have been raped before, and I've been in an abusive relationship. Seeing this saddened me, but at the same time, when we've known R. Kelly, seeing what? Seeing Surviving R. Kelly, which was a documentary that just came out recently,
right,
with his ex-wife and several other people who allegedly were assaulted or abused by him. You know, we've seen in prior times, we've seen that, you know, he married Aaliyah and, you know, was messing with her at the age of 15, which was all over the news. We also had situations where, besides that, we had a situation where he was caught on tape, on a video, doing very vulgar things, you know, that I don't want to mention, to another underage young lady. And it's been on and on and on going. But it just seems like, especially, and you know, in the back end of the industry, a lot of these things happen, whether it's in the military, whether it's in the government, whether it's in the industry, people turn a blind eye, you know, when it comes to saving face or money's involved. And I think it's just a sad situation, but what's your thought process on it, Donnie?
I think the message, especially for our young people, is, do you really want to be famous?
Mm.
There's a storyline painted in our community, as well as mainstream, that there's a connotation that comes with it. Don't you want to be famous too? No, I don't want to be famous. They seem like the most miserable sons of guns on the planet. People in Hollywood and entertainment, your life, you know, one of the things, you know, your life is no longer private. There's a cost to pay to being famous. Do we really want to be Kevin Hart? Do we really want to be on the level of a fame as a R. Kelly? Do we really want to be a Michael Jackson? Do we really want that? And especially for our young people who, of course, are emotionally more vulnerable than adults, typically, we got to start asking our young people to be critical in their thinking. Do you want to subject yourself to sexual predators for the sake of your career?
Exactly.
Male or female?
Do you really
want it like that? Or is there another way you can accomplish your goal and not lose your soul? Lose your self-identity.
That's deep.
I mean, sexual trauma. In addition, when you look at mass incarceration, the United States has 5% of the world's population, but we have 25% of the world's inmates, 44% Black men and Black women are the fastest growing demographic. And everybody knows that when you go to prison, it's not like sex stops happening. Then these people come home, and the question becomes, how much sexually deviant behavior is being brought home to the various households? What happens to people? And as we know, some people get traumatized in prison. And they bring it home. And some of them traumatize others who had nothing to do with the prison. And quite often as little kids. When I was in Ethiopia, we visited Ambo Town outside of Addis. And there was a orphanage there. And I saw six and seven-year-old children Ethiopian children who were in this orphanage being protected from people who sell. That's security provided by Pharaoh, the German shepherd. But they were young people who were subject to prostitution. And, you know, it's not just here in the United States. It's worldwide what some tons of guns will do to take advantage of children. It's God-awful, sickening. You know, you're talking about R. Kelly and 12-year-olds. I'm talking about 6- and 7-year-old kids. Who does that?
Not even just that. Newborn babies. Couple-month-year-old babies. I mean, it's insane. We've had sexual predators for years. I mean, and it's been sex trafficking internationally. You have men that fly from the U.S. or even people that are overseas that pay big money, business owners, just to lay with little kids. So this is something that has been going on for years, but we have to make aware, and people have to become accountable for it. Instead of people sitting and condoning it, these people need counseling, and half of the people that deal with this stuff have been touched before, and I don't condone it, and they need to get some type of counseling. They need to get some kind of help and some kind of counseling, and they need to be held accountable for it. We can't keep closing a blind eye to it, you know, because that could be your daughter, your son, or anybody out there, and we can't keep closing our eyes. We have to say something. These people need help.
According to Dr. Patricia Newton, a psychiatrist and a very dear friend to the late Dr. Francis Press Welsing, the Super Bowl is the number one venue for trafficking.
Wow.
The Super Bowl every year is the most trafficking occurs around the Super Bowl. And as you said, people flying in, they got hotels, bada bing, bada boom. And it's God-awful. We're having a daughter, and you have a daughter. You know, it's my job to be like Liam. What was that movie, Taken? That's my job. But it's also my job to make my child aware. And we got to make other people's children aware. You know, and then, you know, we have to be careful who we bring home. Bringing anybody around your child. And to do so is trifling.
Exactly. We just have, you know, we have 7 minutes left on the clock. You know, we have to be aware of what's going on in the world. We have to be aware, and, you know, we can't protect our children from everything, but we have to train them. We have to instill in them values, and we have to prepare them for anything. You know, we can't sit here and, you know, say, oh, don't come to me and talk about that. No, you need to have the discussion. You need to talk to your kids. You have to inform them. The school is not going to do that. We have to train our kids. We have to teach our kids. And all of this starts from home. And, you know, and also generational trauma. You know, sometimes you find where, you know, a father or a mother has been, you know, molested or something, and they just keep it in. And, you know, they don't know how to deal with it. So they don't know how to deal with it when they talk to their kid about it. We have to deal with this generational trauma. We have to deal with a lot of things, and we have to start talking. We have to bring up the conversation. The truth hurts, but if we don't talk about it, then we're never going to have any kind of solution for it. Right now, you just heard Donnie Glover. Check out his show, purchase his book. Like I said, you know, each and every Monday, you're going to have ME2K, Motivational Mondays from 9 to 10 a.m. To jumpstart your morning. And, you know, each and every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on our new show, The Biz, you can access questions. We're going to have interviews, news, and talk about some celebrities and play some music. Donnie, the last quick question, because we've got a couple more minutes, is where do you see
I got to put a plug in for a couple of – I got to put a plug in
Go
for
ahead.
D-More News and for Donnie.Glover on Facebook. We're on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Donnie, D-O-N-I, Glover, G-L-O-V-E-R.
And Be More News, you can Google him. He's all over Google. And the Vagina Monologue, one of our female veterans, April Harris, is going to be performing there. It's in D.C. February 9, 2019, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. African American Civil War Museum, 1925 Vermont Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C., featuring Work It Divas, Holistic Sisters. The tickets are $25 cash. You can call 202-588-7363 for more information on the show. Also, the She Wins Unconference, I'm bringing together a diverse group of women. We're going to be talking about grants, government contracting, mindful business practices, leveraging your network, and more. It's going to be a very amazing event. We're honoring Karen Austin, also Megan Ogilvy. It's going to be an amazing event. It's going to be March the 23rd. There's going to be free food, drinks. It's going to be amazing. Just come and get empowered and check it out. You can go to Eventbrite She Wins Unconference and you can purchase your tickets there. Support Donnie, the Black Wall Street Movement. The summit is going to be amazing. We're looking for more things in this year. And I just want to tell you guys that I love you because you guys, without you, Lush Radio wouldn't be online and we wouldn't have been doing all these amazing things. We always believe in educating and entertaining. And, you know, I don't do it for me. I do it for the people. We are the people's voice, Lush Radio Online. And, Donnie, real quick, where do you see media in a couple of more years?
Wow. Let me ponder that. But in the meantime, let me say thank you to you for always helping me. I try not to wear you out, Lush. You've helped me in ways that if I were a butthole, I would have missed out on. And I can't begin to tell you how important a colleague and friend you are to Be More News to me and all of the stuff, you know, we're trying to do. Where do I see media going? You know, the cell phone has changed the game. And so maybe the future of media has something to do with the whole gamer thing and the virtual game thing. And, you know, you've seen it in futuristic movies. Maybe I certainly see more citizen journalists. I just see that the technology still playing a role. And I see the evolution more of the integration of more technology into media. Not certain how, but we are certain. I mean, television is still the monster, but the internet is a beast too. It's to be respected. Television was here first, and television is still, you know, primary. But not a television show you watch where you won't see them push their social media.
Exactly. And
I
think
more,
now it's
more integrated.
Yeah, like you said, it's more integration now. You can see the conversion of, you know, a lot of cable channels transitioning to streaming and online, because now we live in an on-demand society where people want to watch things. They're not always DVRing. They want to watch things when they want to watch it. Like even like you take, for instance, Breakfast Club, people might not always stream it, but they might want to check it out on YouTube and things of that nature. So, you know, people want to watch things when they watch it. That's why you have, you know, the excelling of like a Hulu, Netflix. And Netflix has definitely changed the game on streaming, especially with Bandersnatch, where they had the interactive viewing with the audience picks and makes the decision of the main character. You got, Bird Box, where people are like putting out crazy memes and stuff. So it's changing the way we watch, and millennials have changed the way we utilize the internet. So I think it's going to be definitely an amazing thing. I'm here for it. And I love it. And I love you, Donnie. Thank you for everything that you're doing for our community. And I love you. And thank you so much for joining us today on The Biz. You know, so each and every Tuesday, check us out. And let us know if you would like to interview or talk about your business or something like that. And we always encourage love, energy, love, peace, and nothing but love. And I'm going to go ahead and play some Aretha Franklin. Rest in peace. I love you, baby.
People, let me tell you, I work hard every day. I get up out of bed. I put on my clothes. Cause I've got bills to pay. Now it ain't easy, but I don't need no help. I've got a strong will to survive. I've got a Hey!